May only his words be spoken, only his words heard. Amen. Do you want to be healed from our gospel lesson for this morning? Our scripture today asks one very important question and indirectly raises many, many more. Now, as a child, we used to get Life magazine. Some of you remember Life magazine, right? And burned into my memory is an image. It's an image of a thalidomide baby. You know what a thalidomide baby was? A lot of you do. Thalidomide was a drug mainly given in Germany for morning sickness for pregnant women. It had a terrible effect. Actually, America was spared this because of a doctor who recognized this was going to be a terrible thing. What did thalidomide babies look like? They had no arms or no legs. They had massive deformities. And for me, at my age, it wasn't just me. I know for a lot of people that this was a wonderment in a bad way, in a sense. But it made a real impression on my young mind. Why these children? Why all this suffering? How did they get on in life? How did it affect their minds, their outlook on life? We didn't have Google back in those days. Can you imagine that? We couldn't get on a phone and, you know, ask. Because Google now is so much of my memory is Google. And I just go, well, I can't remember that. Well, just a second. You know? What's the biggest objection to the Christian faith? It's this. If God is so loving, so all-knowing, and so powerful, why does he allow suffering? Especially to people who believe in him. You know? If your God's so loving and so kind and he hears prayers, why do you have cancer? Or why are you this? Or why are you that? Now, there are two pat answers to the why of suffering, and both of them are absolutely wrong. But here they are. For the secular non-religious people, their response to suffering is, life is a crapshoot. Life is random. Or maybe it's covered by that once popular bumper sticker that read, stuff happens, and only it wasn't the word stuff, all right? Then there is the view of some religious people. And it goes like this. If you're a godly person, if you live a really good life, then you're going to have little to no suffering in your life. But if you are an evil person and you lead a bad life, oh, you're going to suffer. God's going to bring pain to your life. Right? Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? Well, yeah, I have. I mean, at least a rendition of that. Right? Both of these explanations are wrong, flat out wrong. The truth is, God hates suffering, but he permits it because it serves his goal and purposes for our life. There's a reason why we suffer. We just may not know what it is. Now, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. You heard our gospel lesson. He comes in for one of the feast days. Now, there were three great feast days that Jews were supposed to come to Jerusalem for. There's the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And in this particular occasion, he comes and enters through the sheep gate. Why do you think it was called the sheep gate? Sheep came in there, right? They were driven in there. That would be my guess. I'm sure I should have researched that more, but. And right there at this gate, there was a pool called Bethesda, which was surrounded by five covered colonnades. Great number of disabled people gathered there, the lame, the blind, the paralyzed. There was a legend about this pool. It was fed by an underground spring. Imagine this. And when the spring overflowed, it would bubble up from beneath, causing a disturbance in the waters above. Right? The legend has it that this rippling of the water was caused by angels' wings. And whoever got into the water first, while the water was fluttering like that, would be healed. That was the legend. Now, we kind of find that ridiculous. Or do we? Have you ever heard of Lourdes? You know, places where people feel they're going to get healed, a certain place, right, outside of Paris. Well, we still have kind of things like this. Now, according to the gospel writer John, there was this man who had been coming for 38 years but was never quick enough to enter the waters first. Of all the people, Jesus coming through the sheep gate, coming to this pool, of all the lame people or blind people, he comes to this one man. He didn't come to all the others. He just comes to this one man and asks him this seemingly odd question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? Now, I said it's an odd question because I think anyone in this situation would say, yeah, I want to be healed, right? But think about it. For 38 years, he had lived this way. Most likely, he was a beggar. He had adapted his life to this situation. If he was healed, he'd be responsible. He would have to work. That might be a scary proposition, wouldn't you think? I mean, he probably had his own little corner on some way where he could beg. He probably had a pretty good idea of the income he was going to have. But as it turns out, this man really did want to be healed. And he began to explain his dilemma. And it's as if Jesus wasn't even listening. And you say, I just can't get into the water soon enough. And what Jesus says? He says, get up, take your bed and walk. Immediately, the man got up and did just what Jesus said to do. He took up his mat and walked. Now, I think that's amazing. But I really think that this all-important question that he asked this man is really addressed to you and me. What do you need to be healed of? All the really great problems we have, all the things we really need to be healed of, are spiritual problems. Now, we have physical infirmities. We have things that we would like to be healed of, but they don't separate us from God. But spiritual infirmities can separate us from God. So what do we need to be healed of? Are we holding on to anger toward God or toward other people? Holding on to a grief with no trust, destructive habits, a thirst for revenge, an insatiable lust. I could go on. Do we have a self-imposed impediment like guilt? Later in this same chapter, Jesus says to the man, see, you're well. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. Well, didn't he just throw out my whole thing about why he was suffering? You know? No, he didn't. Jesus knew something about this man that we're not told about. He had a spiritual infirmity. He didn't just have a physical one. He had a spiritual infirmity. The grace of Jesus Christ comes to those who know they need it. And they indicate it by wanting and desiring to repent of their sins. They don't settle for having sins remain in their life. They want healing, they want forgiveness, and they want grace. So back to you and me. So what is it with you? What do you need to repent of? I think most of you know. Let me warn you about something. If you let it remain for years and years, it can become ingrained in you. And then people will describe you as an angry person, a bitter person, a cheap person, a lecherous person, a greedy person, an untruthful person, a cutthroat person. And boy, that could go on and on and on, right? Jesus says, repent, believe the gospel. The Father wants you to look at Jesus and then know everything you need to know about what he thinks about you, the unbreakable love that Jesus has for you, the constant love, the constant willingness to forgive you, to heal you of any spiritual infirmity, and yes, even to heal you of physical infirmities. This is especially important when we suffer. There's Job. He was a good man who God let Satan torment. Satan was sure if he took all the good things away from Job, including his health, that he would desert God. They would not believe in God any longer. How many people have I known in my ministry who have had terrible loss, maybe a loss of a loved one or something, and they got angry at God, and that was it. You know? What good does it do to me to worship him anymore? This was a test. And the suffering that God permitted, there was a test. Job, would you love me for myself and not just the things I've given you? Well, Job almost did desert God. Almost. Job is never told why he suffered so. We may never know why we have this disease or that, but we're told that God never lets go of us, we who believe in Jesus. Never forsake us. Never let us be. All good things will come about eventually in our life. I've heard people say, I could handle suffering if I just knew why I was suffering. I believe that mature Christians come to see that you don't need to know why. You don't. Just hold on to the fact that you're dearly loved. Because you may never know why. You see, we seek healing for every illness. I think that's a good thing. I think God wants us to. You know, we do anointings here at Grace. And I often wonder why more people don't come and be anointed. We've had some outstanding things. I look at you, Holly. That was 20 years ago, wasn't it? Something like that. She wasn't given much chance of living. And she was anointed. And you're one of our ones that we held up because you came so close to dying, I suppose. And who heals? Right? Of course, we have treatments and things like that. You know, that God's provided that. Right? Whether you're healed or not, I know this, God is working in your life. Now, a lot of people that hold on to their sin, their spiritual infirmities, they'll say, well, this is just the way I am. This is the way, this is who I am. Boy, that's a false thing. God doesn't want you to remain that angry or revengeful or lustful person, greedy person. That's not just the way you are. That's not what he intends for you. He intends something far better for you. The pool at Bethsaida is right here, right now. This is the church. This is where the Spirit is stirring the water and the wind. This is where grace is dispensed, where forgiveness is given. This is where the Spirit's power is received. This is where healing happens. Healing of the most important kind. The healing of your soul. And we need this healing when? Constantly. Continually. Right? And he heals. He stirs the waters. Because you weren't meant to be that kind of person that maybe has become ingrained in you. You weren't meant to be that way. And people can change. Through the power of the Spirit, they change. He says to us, just like he said to that man, get up and walk. You are to point people to me. And I say to you, take up your mat. Take up whatever you're holding. Walk. Move. You're my disciples. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen?
Amen. Amen.